Well, it's great to be together, and I've titled what we're sort of going to do today is Christmas Unwrapped, and for those that got the email, you know that already. And if you've read the scriptures that we sent out, then you've probably got the heads up on where we're going, and there's probably some insight. I expect there's some insight that God has given you, and things that that God has spoken into your heart about, and that's how it ought to be. If you are inclined to go, well, no, I don't want to bother reading the Bible and I'll just wait and see what Michael has to say and let the minister do it all for me, that's very not Baptist, all right? As people that attend a Baptist church, we're people that love the Word of God, and we look to the Word of God as our authority, and we look to the Word of God as that which directs us into knowing the Lord. And just to sit and listen to a person is not enough. And so my encouragement to you is to be in the Word, read His Word, sit quietly with His Word, and even take a book or a notepad or whatever you do to really capture a phrase, just capture a thought of what God is saying to you. Because I'm sure He wants to unwrap some things for you this morning. And not just through me. Look at all the presents we've got here. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? The sad thing about these presents is that they were wrapped a whole year ago. Imagine that. This little present, whatever's inside here, has been wrapped for a whole year. Nobody has unwrapped it. Evelyn, could you fix that? Do you reckon you could unwrap it if we needed someone to unwrap? Do you like unwrapping presents? Yeah, I do too, actually. But these have been wrapped for a whole year, and that's crazy. And sometimes I think it is that we can leave the truth of God wrapped up, and we don't take the time to allow God to unwrap His Word in our hearts and to speak into our lives and to show us things that He's got for us. Now, if God has got something for you this morning, and I'm sure He has, it would be a terrible thing to miss that, wouldn't it? And to leave that wrapped up and for nothing to happen. So I wonder this morning, when we come to reading and we come to fellowship, or we come to worship, we come to pray, I wonder whether this morning we can come with a sense of expectation that God wants to unwrap something for you and for us together. Because if he unwraps something for you, you know what? That's good for us. If He unwraps something in your life or your life or your life, then that's good for us together as a body. So I pray that we have that sense of expectation, and I pray that light will dawn in your heart, in your mind, and that you'll know the Lord better. Some of the things that are happening in the family that we need to have our attention drawn to. We were chatting with Trevor earlier in the week, and he shared this great idea, which I think would be terrific for us to be part of. And we usually do stuff outdoors at Christmas time, and this has been a year that's been hard to actually have too much planned, because we've not known almost from 1 week to the next what would be doable. So things like Messy Church and outreach like that, and playgroup and other things that we've normally done have been harder to organise and harder to plan ahead to achieve. So we're going to do an impromptu type thing on the 23rd. I suppose it's not really impromptu because we're working out the date and the time, but we're going to be just doing some pop-up caroling or singing some Christmas songs in the town on the 23rd, Wednesday the 23rd. And we just thought we might ask a few shop owners if they'd mind if we just sort of sing a couple of songs in front of the shop, and then we'll move on and we'll share it with somebody else. So if you'd like to be part of that, Wednesday the 23rd, about 4 o'clock, we don't know how long we'll go for, and we'll have to consider about whether we need to get a permit to do that or not. But we could check with the police, I don't know. So, or the Shire. Take the heat off the police. So it's an opportunity for us to testify to the greatness of the one that we serve. And I think if you've seen some of the sort of impromptu appearing type things where a whole choir of people have gathered in say, a shopping centre and just started singing, it's pretty powerful stuff. And I've seen that happen, and it's been really lovely. So that light might dawn in other people's lives who perhaps could be surprised by the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we just pause and pray, and then we will share some of the things, some of the other things that have been happening in the family and through the family. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that we've got the privilege to gather today. We want to thank you, Lord, that just the privilege that we have of being your children, of knowing, Almighty God, that you love us, that yes, Lord God, your love is proved. It was proven on the cross. It was proven by the fact that you would send your Son to come and to bring peace for us, to be our peace. And we thank you, Father, that, Lord, for all time that you've been revealing yourself to man. But we thank you, Lord, for this great revelation of Christ, of Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Lord. And we pray that today, Lord, that you would unwrap in our hearts the truth, that, Lord, would lead us into life and into light and into freedom, into hope and into peace, and into purposeful living, Lord, into lives that are gloriously rearranged, Lord, into lives where we have the best direction ever because we follow the greatest director ever, you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, whatever's transpiring in us now, Lord, whatever frailties or challenges or situations, Lord, or concerns that we have, we come before you now and say, here, Lord, here I am. Unwrap the things that you want to unwrap. Lord, unravel the things you want to unravel in me. And Lord, bring the direction, and Lord, as sovereign God, do mighty things, we pray, that we need. And we gladly surrender, Lord, to you. Guide us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of the things that have been happening that have also sort of happened almost impromptu, certainly the way that you've responded has been just amazing. And I just wanted to ask whether Lynn Carter, could you just sort of share a little bit? And then William, I think there's a picture going to flash up on the screen which would help you see what you've been part of. So,
anyway, this is a picture of some of the hampers that we've been preparing. Some have already gone out, and some will be going out this week with us and with Will the following week. And so all together there were 25 hampers that were done. Thank you to everybody who donated either money or goods and been praying for us. And and it's been a real blessing with the few that have gone out and been received, the ones that we've already distributed, the few. People have been overwhelmed by the response. And one fellow who had lost his house, he's been waiting in it, and his little prefab thing that you've seen on the telly, you know, has just been finished when Norm called in the other day. And he said, I just need to start filling my larder. And Norm said, well, here you are. I mean, perfect timing for it. So thank you very much for your generosity. And, it's been a bit overwhelming. So, it was great fun. My house, my whole room was pretty full. But anyway.
Thanks, Lynn. Yes, indeed. One of the best ways, or one of the most effective ways to get rid of wrapping paper is to burn it. I don't know if it's necessarily the best way, but it is effective. And we've long wanted to be able to bless the communities around us and speak into people's lives. And as we're talking about Christmas Unwrapped, indeed this year has unwrapped a lot of opportunities for us to be a blessing. And these hampers have just been wonderful, a wonderful touch to the relationships that we've been able to build. Yesterday, Jen and I delivered 5 hampers around Club Terrace, in addition to helping out in the community there. And each one of those opened the door for us to spend almost an hour at every home. It was difficult to get through all of the drinks that we were obliged to drink, but it was good and was special. And people were just really touched and asked that we pass on their thanks. Thank you very much to all who have contributed to that. So thank you, and I may even find some more people who would appreciate hampers if you still want to give. I haven't told Lynn that yet. So,
wait, there's more.
We'll see what we can do there. But I was really quite surprised when Lynn showed me the hampers she had at the effort and the care that has gone into making them. They were spectacular. And for those of you who are wondering what the photo was on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, this lovely young lady here is my girlfriend Jennifer, and I thought I'd add that last because you wouldn't hear anything else I said afterwards. So this is Jen. She's got a broken foot, which is why she's here. It's I'm grateful for silver linings in bad stories. Thank you.
Thank you, William, and welcome, Jennifer. So, or Jen, I think she prefers to be called. I'm not sure. So, I wonder whether we realize it or not. It's really easy for us as people to kind of superimpose or to bring our own ideas and overlay them over what God is saying. And we probably get shocked by when you read Isaiah and you read the scriptures, you read Matthew and Luke, and you read about Jesus coming, and you think, you know, how could people have missed this? And, you know, you think about the Hebrew people and how they would have committed such a lot of the scriptures to memory. And many of them would have known much of Isaiah off by heart. It's interesting that so much of Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament. Jesus quotes a lot out of Isaiah. And so you've got this picture of Jesus coming. You've got this wonderful, we might sing the song that Surf wrote next week actually about Emmanuel. You've got this wonderful title that Jesus has given, Emmanuel, God with us, and there in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. And speaking of the one that would come, this is about 750 years before the Messiah appears. So they had a lot of notice, didn't they? They were well warned that the Messiah would come, and there was so much there that was given away about what he would be like. And yet they missed it. So many people miss it then, and people miss him today. And why do we miss him today? People can be sitting in churches and miss him. And that's a terrible thing. And I wonder whether is we still inclined to kind of overlay our ideas of what Jesus should be. We're perhaps looking for a Jesus who would be the Jesus who would be the kind of Jesus of our own making instead of the Son of God, God's Messiah, who comes to do the things that God had purposed long before. And, you know, I think for a very long time people have been stuck with this strong inclination just to overlay and to superimpose what we think and what we want over what God reveals. And you could say, oh yeah, Michael, but I don't do that. Well, I'd suggest you just quietly say, Lord, do I do that? Do I do that? Do I do that with you? And am I missing things? Am I so wrapped up in what I want and what I think that actually I miss? And I think there's nothing that is more pronounced than Christmas for overlaying so much stuff, so much tinsel, so many presents, so many parties. You know, it's all about family. Family's great. Family's a blessing. But it's not all about any of those things. It's all about Jesus. And yet we have this overlay of so much other stuff. You know, and it applies to more than just Christmas. I think it shows what our lives are overlaid with by what we spend our money on and how our families work and even the way that we think about how church should be reformed. And I use that word reformed because we're in a stage of reforming. And our natural inclination is to overlay what's reformed by what was. We can't help ourselves to say, just so looking forward to getting things back to normal. Now that's assuming that normal was just the absolute pinnacle of exactly how God wants things to be. And yet I think God is saying to his body, he's saying, I want you to listen to me. I want you to take me at my word. I want you to be willing to go on the journey with me. I want you to be willing to trust me and to be led into things that are better than what you've got planned and what you want and what you think. And I think just like of old, when people missed Jesus, they missed the Messiah. They missed it because their religious minds were made up and Jesus didn't fit their bill. And I think in our society today, we can miss Jesus. Our society is missing Jesus because their secular minds are made up. And Jesus doesn't fit that. And when we do something like want to go down the street and sing a few carols, immediately the question's asked, well, do you think we will be allowed? So far has our society moved that becomes doubtful as to whether we are allowed. And being said that we're a secular society is held up as something, well, we're pretty proud of ourselves. We're a secular society. And yet, where has that taken us? And we miss Jesus because our minds are made up. My prayer is that Christmas could be unwrapped for each one of us. And my prayer is that God does have something for you, and it would be so sad for you to leave that wrapped up, wouldn't it? And not take hold. Let's not leave what God's got wrapped up for another year. Now, these are presents that were for our playgroup families, and a goodly number of those boxes were full, were given out, and these are just the leftovers. So don't worry about it too much, because we did give out lots of presents last year. So I wonder whether we could sing in just a little bit, but before we do, just a couple of other things. Tomorrow is going to be a time of celebration and remembrance of Rhonda Collins's life, and so just be praying for her family and the church in down in Morwell as they or Maui as they meet to remember. Pray as the hampers go out that they will be a blessing to people. And if you've come with an offering and you would like to bring an offering to the Lord, then please just use the receptacles, the boxes up the back. So that's between you and God in your giving. And don't forget, on the 23rd and Wednesday the 23rd, we've got the opportunity to be reaching out downtown. And then on the first night of the 2021, there will be a bush dance at Wairiwa that has been something that we've been part of for a number of years. And the Wairiwa community are wanting six couples from Lakes Baptist Church to be part of that night, because they actually want to say thank you to us for assisting and serving them. So if you've been part of the relief work there, please let me know that you're coming by the end of the week so that we can RSVP. You might also like to be part of those who actually run the barbecue, because I volunteered the barbecue and I said, yep, some of our guys will do that. So please don't let me down. It's just another way to be a blessing in the Wairiwa community, and we're going to be using a couple of our jumping castles down there as well to make it a lovely time for the whole family. So that's on New Year's Day night. So it's a lovely family afternoon and evening. All right, let me just read a little bit of the scripture to you and share a few more thoughts, and then we'll sing again. And this is just one verse from Isaiah chapter 7, and I've already alluded to it, and you will see it also in Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. But in Isaiah chapter 7 it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." Now we know that that name Emmanuel means God with us. And I think it's pretty amazing that this very early announcements, like 750 years before Jesus comes, this is the announcement made about him. When Joseph, who was struggling with his fiancée, Mary, being pregnant, and an angel appears to him, the angel speaks these words to Joseph and announces to him, very early in the piece, while Jesus is still just an embryo in Mary's womb, that this is Emmanuel, this is God with us. Jesus' famous last words is recorded in Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus says himself, he says, "And I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." And I wonder whether one of the things that God would want to unwrap to us is for us to know his faithful presence. When John introduces Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, he speaks of him as the one who was, in John chapter 1, as the one who was in the world. God was present in the world. He speaks about the one who is who has come. He came to his own. He was there with his own people, and they knew him not. He says that he lived for a while among us. It seems like John never got over the fact that Jesus, that God presences himself with mankind, because if you would read 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, those short letters at the end of the New Testament, you would see that he's still speaking about the privilege of the presence of God. And, you know, he says that our fellowship now, because of Emmanuel, because of Jesus, our fellowship now is with the Father and with his Son Jesus. That sense of belonging and knowing and being in the presence of God. He says that we live in him and he in us. And I think one of the things that he would want to unwrap for you and unwrap for me is to know that he is Emmanuel, that he is with us. And to know that in a fresh and in a with a special appreciation. Not just with a fact, yes, it's written in the Bible, so I believe it, but with an appreciation that goes, Lord, I know that you're with me. You said that you would be with me always. And, you know, we have great poems that have become famous of, you know, like Footprints in the Sand, where people have tried to capture this sense of the presence of God, the faithful presence of God because of Christ, no matter what the situation. And even the times of when feelings don't match the facts, it doesn't change the fact that God would be present with us. And I wonder whether we would be people who would step into today, and we would step into this week, and we would step into this Christmas season, we'd step into 2021 and say, Lord, I am so grateful for your presence. And that we would take that step by faith, but we would find ourselves appreciating and trusting in the one who said, the one who was said would be Emmanuel, the one who said himself, I am with you always. Father, I pray that because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of him who is called Emmanuel, I pray, O Lord, that we might realize that you are the one that has chosen to present yourself with us. And Lord Jesus, you are the one that has promised that you would never leave us or forsake us. And you're the one that has invited us to belong and to abide and to dwell in you, and that you would dwell and abide and live with us. Father, I pray that you'd help us understand this afresh. Lord, unwrap this reality, I pray, to our hearts and our minds. Lord, cause us to be able to think and live differently because of this truth, that you are God with us. Lord, not God watching us from a distance. Not God who would turn up on rare occasions. Or not God who would be with us if we are good. But God, you are the one who loves and redeems. You are the one who has compassion and cares for broken people, needy people, Lord, helpless people, hurting people. Thank you, Lord, for being God with us. Thank you for coming to bring peace. Lord, unwrap this to us, we pray. And we thank you for the privilege that we can ask this to be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, be moving in the place where I think where the disappointments of the past have left me always thinking things are always going to be like this. And and nothing will change. Lord, be moving in that place. Lord, be moving in the place where I find it too hard to believe that there's someone that I love deeply could ever be saved, could ever know you. Lord, be moving in that place. And Lord, help me to trust you for that, for them. Lord, be moving in my heart where I have struggled. Lord, be moving in this place. And Father, where we as a church need to learn to be reformed the way you desire your church to be. Lord, be moving in that place. That we would be easily led by your Spirit into what you have in mind. And Lord, I pray that you'd be moving in the burnt places in our district, in our region, in so much of Australia. And we're nearly 12 months on, people still find it hard. Lord, may we and may your people throughout this nation, Lord, be consistently coming alongside. And Lord, be moving in that space too, we pray. Lord, I pray you be moving in the lives of our little ones. We thank you, Lord, for our children, our grandchildren. We'd ask your blessing upon them. Lord, be moving in their little lives, we pray, in all that they need as they grow up. Thank you, Lord, for the special place that little ones have in your heart. We thank you for them. But Lord, above all, we say thank you that you are God, who would presence yourself with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Daniel, have you got something for... There's a few boys and girls here. We forgot to bring the parachute this morning because Lynn took it home to wash it and it didn't come back. So... I think Daniel brought some soft things to sit on. So I think...
Don't make me go home and report something.
Eric and Dad had their birthday. Yeah.
Who have we got today? Welcome. Hey, good to see you guys. I haven't seen you guys for ages. All the way in Orbost. So far away. All right. Some slightly soft things. All right, can I have those later?
Thank you.
Okay. Good to see you guys, and it's good to be here in person, isn't it? I like it. All right, now, I have a question. Are you ready? All right. What is this? What are these? What are these things? What do you got? Lift up things.
Weights.
Weights, that's right. And you know I've been using them because they've still got the stickers on. And I've got massive muscles. Now, how many times do I have to use the weights to make my arms really fit? Every day? You sure I just can't? A bigger one. But a bigger one just once? Or do I have to use it a lot? Maybe I could just do like maybe 10 of these and that'll be right for the rest of my life. I could be strong for my whole life after that, couldn't I? How about you? Do you want to try it? Yep, just do 10 of those. And you're done for life. Or maybe till next week. How often do I have to use them?
About every day if you want it.
Every day to be strong?
Yeah.
What about if I wanted to be fit? All right, here you go, Arthur. You do some as well. Oh, my goodness. You've got huge muscles already. See, all you need... You didn't need very much. What about, like, running and fitness? How often should you, like, do exercise? Every day? Maybe like once every 10 days, 2 weeks, just whenever you feel like it. But if you wanted to be like fit all the time,
oh,
Every day? Oh, okay. Are you sure? All right, I've got another question. What if you wanted to be really good friends with someone? How often should you see them? Like, every day? What about once a year? Like, you don't want to be, like, too close, do you? But what if, like, you want to be really good friends?
You need to hang out with them.
Need to hang out with them? Yeah, hang out. Spend some time every few days. That's always good. I mean, it is nice to have friends that we don't see all the time. And then when we do see them, we're like, yeah, let's do something cool. But it is pretty cool when we do get to see friends a lot, because when you see friends a lot, you get to do a lot of things together. You get to know them really well. And what are they made of? What do you reckon?
I'm pretty sure inside there's concrete.
There could be concrete in there. I'm not sure. Just don't hit one another with it, because it'll hurt.
My dad's weight has concrete in it.
Uh-huh. Now, when we're talking about friendships, now we might put those down. Thank you, boys. Now that you're all pumped up, you can do them later. All right. So, sometimes with friendships, we go through really good times and really hard times, and that can actually make us better friends with someone, because we get to see how people go when times are tough, and we get to support one another, and that's all really good things. So, I'm going to read you guys a story out of this little Bible here, and it's a story about Peter. And Peter was one of Jesus' really good friends, and he spent lots of time with Jesus, and he got to know Jesus really well. And he didn't just, like, go to the temple once and see Jesus one time. Like, he lived with Jesus for like 3 years. That was a long time. Just walking around together, doing lots of things. So I'm going to read you a story now. And this one comes out of Matthew 14, if the mums and dads want to follow along. And this is about Jesus walking on water. It's pretty cool. Now, let's start here. Jesus told his disciples to go on ahead of him. Then Jesus walked up a mountainside to pray. Storm clouds filled the sky. Jesus could see the disciples in the boat, and they were having trouble. Who's been on a boat in a storm before? Not that fun. Just go on good days. Pick good days and check the weather beforehand. These guys didn't have the Bureau of Meteorology. Really? Did it get stormy?
No.
No. Oh. It was a good day. That's a good experience. Okay, the wind whooshed, the waves sloshed, and the boat was tossed about. Not much fun. Do they look like they're having fun?
No.
Do they look a little bit terrified? Suddenly, the disciples saw someone walking on the water towards them. They thought it was a ghost. Now, you're already in a boat, and you're already pretty scared, and you think you might die. Suddenly, there's someone walking towards you that you think might be a ghost. How are you feeling right now?
Good.
Not having a good day.
Today
just. Well.
If you tag
go straight through, and then you still be in. Jesus called out to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." The disciples still weren't sure. Peter said, "If you really are Jesus, let me walk out to you." Jesus replied, "Come." That was pretty bold of Peter. It was pretty gutsy. It's pretty brave. He's trusting Jesus. Peter stepped out of the boat. He began walking on the water towards Jesus. So he's just keeping his eyes on his friend. Then Peter looked at the wind and the waves, and he became afraid. Suddenly he started to sink. "Lord, save me," Peter cried out. Jesus reached out and pulled Peter up. He did save him. He didn't let him sink all the way down. He let him have a little bit of a scare. "Why didn't you trust me?" Jesus asked Peter. They climbed into the boat and the storm stopped. The disciples worshipped Jesus. They said, "Truly you are the Son of God." Now this is someone who spent lots of time with Jesus, and he saw Jesus do some amazing things. It was incredible for him. And he was still learning to trust Jesus. And when we're becoming friends with somebody, and actually, if you read more about Peter's life, he still had lots of struggles and lots of hard times trusting Jesus and trying to do the right thing. But he was Jesus' friend, and Jesus did amazing things with his life. But what Peter did was he was with Jesus every day, and he spent lots of time learning from him, doing things, just like using these every day or running every day or doing something that was really good for him. He got to know Jesus by having some really good habits, which is spending time with Jesus. And for us, We can read about him. We can read about what he's like, and we can learn about Jesus, and we can pray, and we can learn to trust Jesus just like Peter did. And that's not like a once a week or a once a year kind of thing, because relationships are like a everyday kind of thing. The best ones, the most special ones, are everyday kind of things. So I just want you guys to remember that as you grow, that when it comes to Jesus, or when it comes to being friends with God, that's an everyday kind of thing.
Hmm.
And it's a really special relationship we can have. So I think what we should do now is we'll close our eyes so we don't get distracted. Put our hands together so they don't wander. Let's pray together. Lord God, I want to thank you for these little ones. I want to thank you so much for the blessing that they are. I want to thank you so much for their families. And I pray that you bless them as they grow. Help them to know how loved they are and that you want them in your family. And I pray that, that you would make them little blessings to their family as they grow. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks for coming down, kids. And I hope you guys get to learn more and more about Jesus as you grow too. All right. Thanks for keeping me company.
Thanks, Daniel. Thank you, boys and girls. You can take up your mat and walk, Lana. All righty. I wonder if you've got your Bibles handy. Would you like to turn to Isaiah, what we call Isaiah chapter 9? And we'll read the first part of that chapter, down to verse 7. We've probably read this lots of times. We've probably heard it read lots of times around Christmas time. We've probably been part of Bible studies with it, and some of us probably preached on it. But I just wonder whether God would really unwrap something fresh for you this morning, and see that there's some reality here, and there's some yes but how answers that we need to take seriously. But let's read, and saying verse 1, it says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and have increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now, I know these are familiar words for us. We've heard these phrases many times before. But I want to bring something out today or a couple of things out today following on from what we've already shared about God's move toward us, about God in his Son, Emmanuel, showing God with us. But I want to kind of confront an idea that I think we can be stuck with. And it's the idea that, like, if I'm pretty good And if I've got things pretty well sorted in my life and things are in, you know, pretty good order, then I will know Jesus' presence. It sort of goes back to the idea when I was little and my dad's sitting up the back there, so I've got to be careful what I say. He can tell you lots of stories about when I was little, but you know, as kids when we were growing up, like if you're a good boy or if you're a good girl, you know, something good happens, you know, like there's usually a reward for being good. And if you haven't behaved yourself, well, then there are consequences. Now, I remember Dad saying to me when I was probably about, I don't know, 16 or 17, he said to my brother and I, he said, I think, you know, I was probably a bit too hard on you blokes. I said, oh, Dad, I don't think you're too hard on us. There's a mighty lot of things we got away with. But so I grew up in a family where there were some consequences, and I'm glad about that. But I think sometimes we transfer this onto this idea or this reality, excuse me, of knowing the presence of God. And God will turn up, or I will know his presence when I'm being good. When actually we see situations like what Daniel, I didn't know Daniel was going to tell a story about Peter in the boat and you know, Peter wasn't being that brilliant. He was scared. Experienced fisherman scared. Now that's got to be a pretty scary storm. And then Jesus comes walking into the situation. There's the presence of God in the storm. And the disciples were frightened. They weren't doing the right thing. They were struggling with their faith. This was one of these, oh, you of little faith moments. And yet Jesus is right there. So I wonder whether we can get it out of our heads that God turns up when we're good. Because that's not what the Bible says. In fact, when Isaiah was explaining this of what would be, this is this 700 years beforehand, he's speaking about people who were stuck in situations where things were pretty gloomy. Because it addresses here, there's gloom, there's distress, there is humiliation, Naphtali and Zebulun. Well, lands that they probably got trounced by Assyria and some of those northern countries, and they got it hard. They, you know, often were pushed back and lived with a high level of uncertainty. There's a description of, you know, as it was in the days of Midian's defeat. So you know, it was those sort of situations. It speaks about situations where people are walking in the dark. It speaks about people who are living in the land of the shadow of death. It speaks about conflict and about things that are not right. Thanks for the drink of water. And the encouraging thing for me in this is when things seem hopeless and when we even feel listless or unsure, uncertain, anxious, and lost, there is Jesus. And he's not waiting for you to be good. He's not waiting for you to be a good boy or a good girl, and then he might turn up. But there is God. And you know, one of the things I asked a couple of weeks ago, I asked a question of you, I said, what's God been growing in your life? We've been apart for the last 7 months, haven't been able to meet together, and it was encouraging to hear the testimony. And I thought, it's all very well for me to ask the question of you to say, what's God been growing in your life? And I thought about it, well, what's God been growing in my life? And one of the things that God has been stirring in me is that he loves stuck people. He loves people who are stuck in situations that are not that great. I know I shared a song with you. I don't know whether you remember a South African woman and bloke, and it was one of the things we shared on YouTube pretty early in the piece, a song written by Zach Williams. And the words go, every time I try and make it on my own, and every time I tried to stand and start to fall, and for all those lonely, lonely roads that I've travelled on, there was Jesus. Do you remember the song? And when the life I built came crashing to the ground, and when friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. And in the waiting and in the searching and in the healing and in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces, every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it and couldn't see it, there was Jesus. And God has used this song just to speak into my heart to say, Michael, I love stuck people. I love people who are stuck in places that they find hard. And they feel like they're a failure. And they feel like it's hopeless. And they don't know what to do. I love people who are stuck. But he doesn't leave us stuck. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day there was Jesus. Yes, in the waiting and in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, and like a blessing buried in the broken pieces, every minute and every moment where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it, and couldn't see it, there was Jesus. And I wonder whether we need to appreciate that here in the Word of God, we have a very real situation where people are stuck in the dark, and they are stuck living in the land of the shadow of death, and they are stuck with defeat and burdens and oppression and conflict, and there is Jesus. And we don't have to wait for things to be ideal, and we don't have to wait till we've picked ourselves up by our bootlaces, and we don't have to wait until we are sorted to know the Lord Jesus. As Peter didn't have to wait until he had everything sorted and could really walk by faith and not by sight. And when his heart is giving in to the fear of the waves around him and the hopelessness of his situation, and why on earth did I make a choice to get out of the boat anyway? But there was Jesus. And I think we have to appreciate afresh, and we have to unpack the real Jesus, who is there even in the broken places. Because he loves stuck people. Do you get what I'm saying? He loves you when you're stuck someplace that you really know you shouldn't be and don't really want to be and wish you could do better. He loves you. And you might, I don't know whether you think to yourself, Michael, gee whiz, I thought you would have come to grips that God loves stuck people. I thought that was part of your heart. Well, yes, it is part of my heart. It has been part of my heart for a long time. But you know, in this time, God is just reminding me more and more and more deeply how much he loves us, even when we're stuck. And we haven't got it all together. And it's for this very reason that for us a child has been born. And for us a son has been given. And we can trust this one. We can trust this Jesus. We journeyed through 1 Peter there for a while, and There's one verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, which is quoted out of Proverbs 3:34, and it says, yeah, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I think that's an invitation to say, Lord, I'm not trying to come to you in my own righteousness or my own best efforts, or I'm not trying to just sort of look as good as I possibly can before you, because I know that you know my heart. And Lord, all I can do is come and accept your grace and come as a needy person and come humbly before you. And I don't think any of us ever get beyond that. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace to know him. Grace to trust him. Grace to follow him. Grace to serve him. Grace to know his presence. Well, I'm not going to try and say too much about the rest of these verses, because I would like for us to unwrap a bit of that next week. But I wonder whether you might take some time, even just to reflect on this again yourselves. And just see what God wants to unwrap for you. But please allow your heart to be reminded that he loves you. He loves you even when you're stuck. Doesn't want to leave you stuck. But he loves you in those stuck places. We thank you, Lord, that you love stuck people, but you don't leave us stuck. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for your presence. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.